Proverbs chapter 4. Today I wanted to speak just a little while on how to identify wisdom. And we're going to begin in Proverbs. We're going to end up over in James chapter 3 in just a few minutes here. But I wanted to begin in Proverbs chapter 4. And I wanted to read a few verses from that as our launching point this morning. Let's pray first, then we'll get right into the lesson. And as we go through the lesson, if you'd like to add to it, today's kind of a laid-back day. And so if you had a few things to pertain to the lesson, I don't mind a little input along the way. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you, Father, for your great love, Father, for us and for your church. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us now as we look at some simple truths today about wisdom and godly wisdom. And Father, may we be wise in this day of foolishness that we see. There's a great temptation, Father, Lord, to abandon the truths of your word. Well, there's a great spirit of Antichrist that pervades the world this morning. And Father, there's a great push, Lord, away from your word, away from scripture, away from truth. And the Lord, man's wisdom has been exalted and magnified. And Lord, may we just be wise, Father, from heaven. Lord, I pray that you'll bless now this morning. Would you have your will in your way? We ask in your name. Amen. Let's read Proverbs chapter 4. You follow along as I read. I want to read the first 13 verses as it deals with wisdom. And there's a lot of verses in the Bible that deals with wisdom. Of course, we couldn't look at them all in this one 45-minute lesson. We'll look at a few this morning. It says in verse number 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." Look at verse number 5. "Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall sell seashells down with the seashore. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life." I want to talk today again about how to identify wisdom in your own life or the lives of others. How to know if you're being wise, or how do you know if the person next to you or people you look up to, are they wise people as well? Well, you see here in chapter 4, we see the father's instruction to a son. And that's an awful good thing to listen to. Listen to your fathers, no matter how old you are. Fathers have good instruction. And you, though you may in some areas be more educated, I went through more education than my father did. So there's some things that I could do that my father could not do. But I could not beat his wisdom or his experience. And he had that on me. And so it's always good to listen to the instruction of a father. And the father says here, the principal thing is to get wisdom. So we're instructed to get wisdom. Verse number 7 says, of all things, it's the principal thing to get in life, is to get wisdom. We see here also the benefits of wisdom. We see these next several verses that when wisdom is exalted, wisdom will promote you. When wisdom is embraced, wisdom will bring you to honor. When wisdom will cover you with an ornament of grace and deliver to you a crown of glory. And so there's benefits to being wise and having wisdom, in understanding how to apply biblical truths and principles. And so we're to get wisdom, God's wisdom, and we're to get understanding how to apply it to our life and use it in our life. We find through the scripture the value of wisdom. Proverbs 8:11 says that wisdom is better than rubies. And I think it's true. I don't know much about rubies. I don't really desire rubies, but it's better than rubies. Proverbs 16:16 says that wisdom is better than gold and of greater value than gold. And so God puts great value upon wisdom. Now, wealth does not make you wise, nor does wealth indicate wisdom. All right? Just because now you may have some wealth in your life doesn't mean that you're wise. Nor does wealth indicate wisdom at all. It doesn't make you wise or indicate the wealth. So there are many people who have wealth who are not wise. And so don't discard the poor man or the person in just the average everyday Joe. A lot of times they have far greater wisdom than the person sitting in ivory palaces. Now we find that how to get wisdom. Chapter 4, verse 11 says, I have taught thee. Wisdom may be learned. You can learn wisdom. We get around good, wise men. You can learn wisdom from wise men and women. And where to get to wise men, where to get to the gray hairs, and learn wisdom from them. And so wisdom may be learned. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10. Wisdom also may be gained. Proverbs 9, verse number 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. And so wisdom may be learned. It may be taught from those around us who are wise. Wisdom may be gained. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When a believer fears the Lord, they gain wisdom from that. And salvation and fearing God is the gain to give us wisdom. So wisdom may be gained. And wisdom also may be received. Let's leave the book of Proverbs and let's go to the book of James, chapter number 1. Wisdom may be learned. So don't despise your teachers, those around you that God has placed in your life. They may not have a bubbly personality, but they could have wisdom. They might not be one of those guys or ladies who are like, man, they're just great people to be around. We love them, but they could have wisdom. So wisdom may be learned. And so don't despise those that God has placed in your life as teachers and around you. You can learn wisdom from a lot of people. Wisdom may be gained through fear of God. When you fear God and trust in Him, you can gain wisdom, but wisdom may also be received. And in James 1:5, the Bible says this, if any of you lack wisdom, all right? The wise man also is a man that realizes when he lacks wisdom. And so what did God say to get wisdom? He says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and that breaketh not, and it shall be given him. So here we find that wisdom may be learned, it may be gained, it may be received. God says, listen, when you get in a situation where you believe you lack wisdom, he said, let all men ask of God. Let them ask of God, and God will give all men. So God's no respecter of persons, and God will give all men wisdom. And so wisdom can be gifted from God. It's amazing sometimes if you ask God for wisdom, what comes out of your brain or your heart that God puts in there? God placed that in there, yes.
It's almost never what I would do intuitively. It's usually something like out of left field, where did that come from? And when you go with it, it almost always works.
Right. Yep. God gives wisdom. And, there are times when I've been preaching or counseling where something's been said and, I've said something. It's like, where'd that come from? That's out of my caliber. And, so anyway, God gives wisdom to those that ask wisdom and ask in faith and not wavering and not double-minded. And so wisdom can be received. Now, according to James chapter 3, there's different types of wisdom. We see in James 3:15, it says here, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. So there is a wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. There is a man's wisdom. This wisdom is his own logic, his own humanism. And this type of wisdom is classified as being earthly. It's man's, it's sensual, it's fleshly, and it's satanic, it's devilish, and it comes from the devil. And so that's one type of wisdom. And then we see in verse 17, there is heavenly wisdom. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And so there's a wisdom that's from above. This is heavenly. It's spiritual. It's godly. And so the question that I want to answer today is, if we're told to get wisdom, that wisdom is the most important thing to give besides salvation, and that a person can gain wisdom through either being taught or gain it by fear of God or receive it by asking of God, and God says, listen, there's two types of wisdom in the world. There's wisdom that's heavenly, spiritual, and godly. There's also wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. How do you know when you have the right kind of wisdom? How do you know when you're using the right kind of wisdom? How do you know when those around you are giving you the right kind of wisdom? Brother Gary?
I believe that if you pray for wisdom, okay, every can be traced back to a Bible principle you understand. So if a guy's sitting here that doesn't read the Bible much, you know, and he prays for wisdom in an area, when he gets that wisdom, it was probably through the Spirit of God that he heard one of his first sermons that was a principle that he needed, and then God will bring that into his life. Because apart from God, there's no wisdom.
Right.
I got this wisdom from reading a book. You know, no. No, if there's wisdom in that book, it's traced back to a Bible principle that man understood that he read about.
Right. Or right. Or the wisdom is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Yeah. So let's look at the marks of wisdom. There's identifying marks to wisdom, according to the Bible. Now, this should not make us judgmental. But we should be discerning. And it's not right for a Christian to walk around thinking, well, I'm wiser than anybody else, you know, and I've arrived and I've achieved, you know. But we are told to discern. We are told, and God gives us here in the Scripture the identifying marks of wisdom. And so how do you identify the marks of wisdom? Look at James chapter 3, verse number 13. It says, who is a wise man and a doer with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom, let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And so we find that identifying marks of wisdom, we see that God's wisdom changes a man's character. See, it talks about his conversation, his lifestyle, his behavior, his character. And so we look at a man's character. It also talks about a man's behavior. So it says his works. And so his character and his works are should align up, but they're two separate things. And so the identifying marks of a man's wisdom is his character, his behavior, and also his attitude or his spirit. Verse 13 says, who is a wise man and doeth knowledge among you? All right, so who's wise among you? Are you wise? The guy next to you wise? How does the guy demonstrate wisdom? Let him show out a good conversation. That's his character, his works, that's his behavior. With meekness of wisdom, that's his attitude, his spirit. And so we find that there's some things that we're going to see here in a few moments that identifies the marks of a wise man. Wisdom, godly wisdom impacts a man's character, his behavior, and his attitude or spirit. And by the way, wisdom is not haughty. It is not arrogant or proud. It's meek there. And so we find here the marks of earthly wisdom in verses 14 through 15. What marks earthly wisdom? If I'm going to use wisdom and all of a sudden, how do I differentiate between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom? Verse number 14 says this, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, so there is a wisdom that's not God's wisdom. This wisdom says not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And so we find here's the marks of earthly wisdom. First of all, it's got bitter envy. Now, we find here that bitter envy is not two separate, it's describing envy. It's not bitter and envy, it's bitter envy. That means this person, he is so envious that it pierces the heart of an individual. They're so full of envy, it's pierced their heart. It's ate them up. It's consumed them. They are ate up with what everybody else is doing, with everybody else's owns. They're in this comparison mode. And they're full of bitter envy. This thing, it's just consumed them that somehow they don't have what they want, what everybody else has at their expense, by the way. And they want what everybody else is doing. And nothing is fair. And they're always the victim. And all these things, they have this bitter envy of, why can't I? And so it's ate them up. And they always place themselves in the position of being a victim. And God says, that's a mark of earthly wisdom. We see also not only the bitter envy, but we see also that there's strife in their hearts. So strife. Strife defined as the struggle to be superior than everyone else. That's what strife is all about, usually about being superior, about being right. And so God said, here's the marks of a foolish man or a man filled with earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. First of all, if you watch them, they're ate up with this bitter envy. They're not happy with their life. They're not content with where God's placed them. They're always looking around at what everybody else has, and they think that life's not fair. And so they're to the point of being angry and unsatisfied, discontent and blaming and condescending. There's strife. You put them anywhere, they can't get along because they want to be superior. And so they have that strife to be superior. We find also there's confusion. It says in verse number 16, for where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. So there's confusion among that person. Confusion defined as disorderly conduct. If you, Bill might know about that. Dealing with people, disorderly conduct. And disorderly conduct speaks of being a rebel against authority, against order. And so confusion, according to this here, so here's a person who's wise, they proclaim to be wise, but they're not content, they're not happy, they're angry, their envy has ate them up, there's always strife, they're always fighting against to be superior, in their life there's confusion, they reject any kind of authority or order, or godliness, they reject that, they're always bucky, they're on the rebel side, And so this resembles, or this leaves the mark of earthly wisdom. Not only, and God says, listen, when there is these things present, when you find bitter envy among people and strife and confusion, God says, you mark it down, that's the tip of the iceberg. After that, there's every other evil work that's involved. And how true is that? We see examples in the Bible. Absalom was a wise man. Very wise man, Absalom was. But he didn't have godly wisdom. He had earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. He had wisdom Absalom was bitter against his father, bitter envy against his father. And in some cases, David was not always right in the situation, but Absalom had a bad attitude. That he sowed strife. Absalom sat at the gate trying to be superior and rule the day. Absalom rejected authority. And so we find that Absalom was a very wise man, but his wisdom was earthly, sensual, devilish. Can I say this name? Jezebel was a pretty wise woman. If you look at her life and see what she did, as far as earthly wisdom is concerned, she's pretty wise. But her wisdom left the marks of earthly wisdom, essential wisdom, devilish wisdom. And so we find here the marks of earthly wisdom. But more important than that is, what is the marks of heavenly wisdom? If I'm going to be a wise man or be around wise people, what are the marks, Gary? Fruits of the Spirit. You're ahead of me. Good. We find that in the very same chapter, we find the marks of a wise man. The marks of godly wisdom. And I'll be honest, that's what I want in our church. So I want our church. I want godly wisdom. You know, and I wish there were some folks that I wish were here, but you're here this morning. You know, let me just say this. Last night I went to, a Christmas party with Iowa State Patrol. And I sat there and watched them, and part of me was a little bit jealous. They're a band of brothers that I'm not a part of. I've been there for 4 years as a chaplain. I've answered their calls. I rode with them. I've given death notifications. I've been in the hospital with them. But I ain't one of them. And they like me. But when you go to a party and they do presentations and they show clips of the last year and pictures, and you're not part of that, and you're not in any of those pictures, you just, it kind of just tells you, you're not part of the band of brothers. And I get it. I'm not mad about it. I totally get that. But part of me was jealous because, you know, I want our church to be a band of brothers. I want preachers to be a band of brothers. And it seems like the world knows somewhat of loyalty, but Christians are somewhat sometimes void of loyalty. And we're in this together. We're a family. And we need to band together. We need to be for one another and for each other. And we're all going to, by the way, we're all going to heaven the same way. But by the grace of God. There ain't nobody getting there any other way except the grace of God. And you're not getting there on your own wisdom and your own merit. We're all going to get there by the grace of God. And I just want our church, I will say this, there's some things going on in our church I don't think God's happy about. There's some things that have happened in the last several weeks I don't think God's happy and pleased about. But God's for His people and God's for this place. I just want to see our church continue to be, and the devil hates that unity. He hates it. And he's tried really hard in the last month or so to rock some things in this church. And I just want us to be a band of brothers, a family. We're all going to heaven the same way. And God wants to bless you and bless this place. And anything against the wisdom of God is not going to work. Brother Adam?
Verse of Proverbs says, he that is slow to anger is of great understanding, and he that rules his spirit, that he that take the city. So one mark of godly wisdom is the ability to keep yourself under control when the pressure's on.
Amen. Amen. Let's look at the marks. Let's look at James chapter 3, verse number 17 through 18. He begins his sentence with this, but the wisdom that is from above is. So now we can look at, so God's going to describe to us in James 3 what the wisdom from above is. This heavenly, spiritual, godly wisdom that God gives. What does it look like? And how it should be exemplified in our life. So it lists several things here. Let's go through the list here, and then we'll go through them one by one. It says it's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So God now describes to us in great detail in His Word what this heavenly wisdom looks like. And so if I'm going to say, listen, I want to be wise. There's some results, or there's some indicators to reveal if I have godly wisdom or if I have man's wisdom. There's some results in my life that reflect that. I want to get around wise people. I want to get around wise ladies. I want to get around wise men. As a man, I want to get around men that are wise so I can gain some wisdom for the ministry's sake, for my family's sake, for to be a better husband. And so what are these indicators that we're looking for? Not being judgmental, not throwing people under the bus, but we want to get close to people that have godly wisdom. And we want to also exemplify godly wisdom for those coming behind us. And so what does that wisdom look like? God says the very first thing about godly wisdom, it's pure. It's a pure wisdom from heaven. This purity is not a mixture of God's wisdom with man's wisdom. It is free from iniquity and defilement. It does not justify wrong motivations. It doesn't justify wrong methods to accomplish right results. It's pure. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we as people, we like to justify wrong methods if it's going to give us the right results. That's man's wisdom. You know, we tend to be pragmatic that way. You know, our churches decline. Churches like ours are declining in number. What can we do to gain more people? Well, let's change our standards. That's a mixture of wisdom. That's not pure. Well, let's change our music a little bit. I was asked last night by a couple, a good couple in the State Patrol, and they're asking about our church, and they like to go to E Free Church. So they're asking about our church and what size we were. And so we talked about different things. We talked about our music, and she said, "Have you ever thought about becoming more modern in your music?" She said, "You got your head in the sand." I said, "No, my head's not in the sand. I'm pretty well educated about music, and I'm not. I don't think we're not going to go modern music. I don't want to go that direction." But see, the world says if you go that direction, you're going to gain people. You'll build a congregation. It may be a congregation, but it might not be a church. And so, wisdom from God is pure. You know, in your marriage, you cannot use and skip biblical methods and gain godly results. You know, if you shortcut God, shortcut His Word, and use the wrong methods, you can't get right results. And so God's wisdom is first pure. It's God's wisdom. It's also peaceable. Peaceable means free from strife and commotion. God's wisdom does not leave God's people at odds with each other. Well, that's the thing we need to understand and remember. What is godly wisdom? It's peaceable. It's easy to get a hold of. And it leaves God's people in unity. Any kind of wisdom that's going to promote chaos and confusion and strife is earthly wisdom. And so God's wisdom is peaceable. It brings peace to the church. It brings peace to God's people. And boy, that's what the older I get, that's what I'm not afraid of fighting and dying on certain hills if we need to die on certain hills. But by and large, I just like peace. I like a peaceful Sunday. When a guy can come and worship and preach the truth of God's Word and have folks say amen and say, preach, if that's what the Word of God says and that's how we ought to live and it's true and the Spirit bears witness to that, hey, and have good music and hymns and choir and go home with people loving each other and unity, boy, that's a great Sunday to me. But I'm also not afraid if we have to step out, stand on a certain hill and die there. That's what God's called us to do. And so wisdom from heaven is peaceable. It's gentle. God said it's gentle. God's wisdom is not extreme in demanding rights. It's gentle. You know, I think that's one of the problems with today's generation, starting with my generation. And I don't want to, pick on the next generation because my generation doesn't have a lot of room to talk. But we are a generation of demanding rights. What about my rights? That's not God's wisdom. It's not God's wisdom. When your rights become your objective in life, that is earthly, sensual devilage. The devil wants you to demand your rights. But God's wisdom is gentle. It's not extreme in demanding my rights. What about me and what I want and what makes me feel good? That is earthly. That's devilish, by the way. That's selfish. It's not fierce about its own opinions. It's not rude or overbearing in conversation. It's not harsh or cruel in temper. It's gentle. God's wisdom is gentle. And boy, that's convicting to me about my spirit. If I'm going to give God's wisdom, then I should have a gentle spirit. Nothing wrong with being passionate. Some folks don't like when you're passionate about things. Preacher, you gotta calm down. Why are you so worked up? Well, because one, I hate what the world's doing to God's people. I hate seeing the world and the devil tear God's people apart. I cringe when the devil gets hold of our young folks and they go chasing the world. All of a sudden now, when you've wept and you prayed and your parents have invested, then young folks leave and next thing you know they're drinking. And they're trying, they all got to run and do their, sow their wild oats. Well, I don't believe that has to be the case. Whenever you sow wild oats, you always pick up bitter baggage. And God can forgive that, but you'll have scars and baggage the rest of your life. And so, nothing wrong being passionate, but God spoke to me about you need to be gentle in your spirit, and communicate. You got to stand for what's right, but communicate. You love people. And you love God's people without a harsh or cruel temper. And gentle. Easy being treated, God says. Compliant. Easy to persuade of right and wrong. Easy being treated. Easy to be approached. There are some folks, I'll be honest, there are some folks I don't even want to approach. Because they're not easy to approach. They fly off the handle. They get defensive right away. You can't tell them anything. They're unteachable. In their own mind, they've gained I'm not threatened by it. But I'll just be honest with you. There are folks in our church that know they're smarter than I am. And that's wonderful because I need smart people around me. And they know it. That's the bad thing about it is they are smarter than me. The problem is they know it. Not afraid to demonstrate it either. But, wisdom from God is easy being treated. You can ask them, talk to them, ask them questions, and easy to be compliant to what's truth, easy to persuade of what's right and wrong. And so that's godly wisdom. And it says here that godly wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. There's another convicting character trait of godly wisdom. Full of mercy. Full of mercy. We are living in such a crazy day when wrong is promoted and righteousness is scorned. You can get, and the internet and social media has given a loud voice and a platform for rebellious, angry, bitter Christians who point the finger at Baptists or Christians and blame them for their problems. And no, I'm not for a Baptist church with a dictator pastor. I'm not a dictator. I'm not your king. I'm not even your high priest. I'm not even the chief shepherd. Okay. Now I'm not a hireling, but I'm just an under shepherd. And all the authority I have is the Word of God. That's all I have. I can't come in your house and dictate your house. I can't control what you wear, what you listen to, what you drive, where you live. That's beyond my control. All I can do is preach the truth, and it's up to you, between you and God, how you live your life. And that's where I want to stay. I have a lot of time controlling my own self, let alone anybody else. I don't want to control your business, but I do want to preach truth. I don't think that preachers ought to be in the pulpit if they molest children. I don't think it should be covered up. I don't think that preachers that are having affairs should be covered up and let's say in the pulpit. I think they should be dismissed. I think if you embezzle money and you can't handle money, you should be dismissed and not be in the pulpit. But let me tell you something. If you got a problem with God, it's not. And so today we live in an age where there's a platform of speaking against independent Baptist churches because of all the things that we have done in the past has been nuts. But let me tell you something. For those that want to criticize Baptist churches, you open up any denomination, you're going to find the same thing. I don't care what it is. You go to the White House, find the same thing. Go to a public school system, you find the same thing in there. You go to any denomination, whether it's Methodist or Presbyterian or Catholic, a Church of Christ, you're going to find the same things happening because people are people full of wickedness and evil hearts. Without God, we're vile. But as a Baptist church, one of the sometimes things that we're not always is full of mercy. And we're sometimes quick to shoot our wounded and label them as rebellious or devilish and go down the road. But God says that His wisdom is full of mercy. Full of mercy. I don't think you can have too much, in some cases, too much mercy. And the mercy that we've experienced from God, we ought to also be giving that to other people as we live our lives. Now, it doesn't mean you have to compromise. I'm not going to compromise what I believe. Again, yesterday at the control meeting at the Christmas party, had a great time, but there's a little bit of pressure there. They don't even know they're doing, but a little pressure there. You know, to compromise. If you compromise, you'd fit in. If you compromise, you'd be more popular. If you compromise, you'd be one of us. But I can't compromise. I didn't write the rules. I didn't write the book. You know? And so I need to, but we'd be full of mercy. Mercy. And good fruits. You see, God's wisdom is ready to give love and forgiveness to those that want and are in need. We're ready for that. We're at the very precipice. We're ready in the moment's notice to give love and forgiveness to those that want it and are in great need. And so there needs to be full of mercy and good fruits. And then we find this without partiality. Wisdom is kind to all men. Without hypocrisy. Wisdom is without deceit or disguise. It is not coming with the meaning to help, only to hurt you. You've been around that kind of wisdom before? Folks come in to volunteer to help you. All they're trying to do is gain information to hurt you with. That's not godly wisdom. It's without hypocrisy. Heavenly wisdom is sown in peace to those so that there may be a reaping in peace. When you begin to sow the fruit of righteousness, when it's sown in peace, it says then that make peace. When you sow it, then you shall reap it. And so we find that Paul had heavenly wisdom. He needs to exhibit heavenly wisdom. So now let me conclude with this thought. Time went by faster than I thought it would. Let's look at two verses in Proverbs, and we'll close this morning. So here you see the marks of the identity of earthly wisdom and the marks of the identity of heavenly wisdom, and that's the kind of wisdom that I want to exhibit in my life. And as I read those and compared those, there was conviction in my heart about some things that perhaps we were lacking in my own life. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 4. Proverbs 23, verse 4 says, labor not to be rich. Most important life is not wealth or possessions. It says this, cease from thine own wisdom. And speaking of your wisdom, man's wisdom, God says, cease from your own wisdom. Stop. But I've got, as much as you think you might have got it figured out, God says, cease from your own wisdom. Don't rely on yourself. You gotta get to the book, brother. What's the Word of God say? So cease from your own wisdom. So man here is told, stop. And then look at Proverbs 21, verse number 30. Let's tie that in with this verse. 21:30, Proverbs. Watch this now. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Man's wisdom will never win over God's wisdom. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's easy in our day and society, and it's easy how we've been raised and how we've been trained, to have situation ethics. Meaning this. The situation determines how I'm going to behave. And that's not God's wisdom. The situation says, but preacher, understand, I'm in a bad situation right now. You know, preacher, understand what I'm going through, and I don't see how it's ever going to be fixed or the cure to that. And so I'm going to apply my own wisdom for relief or for help, or the situation demands how I live. And God said, listen, cease from your own wisdom, because if you use your own wisdom, it will never turn out the way that you think it's going to turn out. Well, there's some times I can give testimony of times in my own life where, you know what, I got a little frustrated and I thought, you know what, God is not listening and God is not helping right now, so I'm going to apply my own wisdom. And boy, I charged in like a bull in a china cabinet, and how I thought it was going to turn out, it didn't turn out that way at all. And if I just would have sat down and sat still, waited upon God, and applied godly wisdom, how it would have been a lot better. In your life as a Christian, don't let situations and circumstances determine how you behave. Apply God's wisdom. There is no wisdom or knowledge against God. In your Christian life, in your work life. But preacher, if I do certain things, if I tithe, if I do certain things, it doesn't make sense how I'm going to make it. Doesn't have to make sense. Apply godly wisdom. Preacher, in my marriage, it doesn't make sense. I know it. I understand it. I'm human in flesh and blood like anybody else. But you better apply godly wisdom and use godly wisdom. Because at the end of the day, we're here to glorify God and honor God and not man or our own wisdom. And God says, if you'll just promote His wisdom, He said, if you promote my wisdom, then she'll embrace you and she'll exalt you and she'll bring you to honor. And so I want to encourage you, not a great message this morning. I know that Brother Mowry does a way better job Sunday mornings than I can do at Sunday school class. My burden today is this, that there are too many of us relying upon our own wisdom for a solution that's bigger than us, for a problem that's bigger than us, when we need to apply God's wisdom. Even when we don't understand. You don't understand. And say, okay, let's put God's wisdom. You know, there's been a great pressure, I think, in the last maybe year or so to change a few things in our church. And I'll be honest, there's some things that's like, God, I don't understand, Lord, I don't understand your position on that situation. But can I tell you, I don't have the right to change those positions. I'm always one of those guys that in the heat of the moment, I never know what to say. Then the next morning, like, man, I should have said that to that person yesterday. You know, and I'm never good at a debate because I'm always like a day late and dollar short. But yesterday, as I was talking to these troopers, they were like, you know, something that, well, maybe you ought to modernize. Maybe you ought to change some things. So that's when I'm in the shower thinking about that, kind of bothering me, something, you know, washing my hair, you know. And you should have said this. As a police officer, do you make the laws or do you enforce the laws? And we don't have the right as citizens to interpret the laws as we wish and desire. And when we do that, it's your job to put us right straight where the law, what the law says. I didn't write the book. I don't have to change the law. All I have as a preacher is my responsibility as a preacher and a Christian is to preach the law and preach the book and preach the grace and preach what God's righteousness. So that's all I can do. And when people say, well, this is my interpretation. To bring them back and say, well, here's what the interpretation really, we don't even have the right, listen, you can't interpret what the law is. Well, I don't think 55 is a good speed limit to drive, and so I'm going to interpret it different for me. No, they're going to remind you it's 55. The red light is a red light, no matter how you interpret it.
Right.
Well, that's the scripture. It's not up to interpretation. It's up for God to define it, to interpret it, not for people. And so, anyway, I know I babble on a little bit. Can I encourage you today as your pastor and your friend? Wherever you're at today, would you just apply God's wisdom? when it goes against your flesh, when it goes against your feelings, when it goes against your very gut, apply God's wisdom. Let God honor you and promote you through His wisdom. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you, Father, for our time together. Help us be careful, Father, this thing called wisdom, to discern and to differentiate between what's earthly and what's godly. And Lord, may we live in that godly wisdom, we pray. May our church be pure and peaceable and gentle and easy and treated and full of mercy and good fruit, Father, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Lord, help us, I pray this morning. Bless the morning service, we ask in your name. Amen.